Hello and welcome to our KrausCast webinar series. My name is Amy Beecham and I'm the marketing director here at Kraus Financial. Today's topic is the four key elements to an elder law business plan, hosted by our special guest, Jackie Collins of Elder Law Connection. We do have a few housekeeping items first. If you have any questions during today's webinar, you can go ahead and type those in the question section of the GoToWebinar toolbar and we will answer them at the end of the presentation. A copy of today's PowerPoint can also be found in the handout section of the GoToWebinar toolbar. And we also ask that you please complete the post-webinar survey that will pop up on your screens at the end of the presentation, as we truly do appreciate your feedback. And now let's get to today's topic. Jackie, I will turn it over to you.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And thanks to Kraus for having me. And thanks to everyone for coming in today. Hopefully, we'll definitely make it worth your time. So my name is Jackie Collins of Elder Law Connection. I'm the owner of Elder Law Connection. I also run Collins & Crews Law Office. If you hear people ringing our doorbell, I apologize. It's an active law firm, so I do this on an elder law on a daily basis through a law firm as well. Before I went to law school, I was an officer in the Army for 6 years, did something completely unrelated to the law. Got to live in Germany for several years, got to go to the Middle East for a year, finished out my time there and had enough. Got out, went to law school, had no idea after law school what I was going to do. I know I didn't want to work for a ginormous firm, but they don't teach, at least at the time, they didn't teach elder law in law school. And the only thing I really remembered of it was kind of a boring estates and trust class. But I ran into a friend of mine who'd been doing this type of law for a couple years in a different part of the state, and just kind of fell in love with it. Started out doing VA in attendance, and moved up to Medicaid, estate planning, pre-planning, everything. I started Elder Law Connection 3 years ago because I was helping another attorney get their start here in Ohio. I'm out of Columbus, Ohio. We go all over the state. I was helping them get their start, and I realized how much I enjoyed it and how much shorter their span to success was. It took me, 9 months of mistakes before I got there. So that's about me. I want to introduce Lynn Booth. She's not on today, but hopefully someday you'll get there if you don't already have an office manager, paralegal. She's our intake expert, our follow-up expert. I met her through Wealth Council. She was my coach then when I first got started, used their program, and it's been going great since. But I started as a solo attorney. I opened my own law firm, Collins Law Office. Started in elder law immediately. Didn't really have a mentor at first. I was using different resources for education. Tried to find, got onto listservs, followed up with people on listservs that were asking the same questions that I was. But doing the marketing and everything, it was 9 months before I got my first case. There's things that you can do to, speed that up. And that's what we'll talk about today as part of your business plan. There was lots of fails. There was terrible presentations. My first presentation was just terrible. It was over 2 hours long. I tried to read from a script that I had made word for word. People were nodding off. It was terrible. Wasted money on ventures where people, pay me this amount of money and I'll guarantee you 10 leads a month that'll turn into something. Things like that. I've done all of that, and hopefully we'll help you avoid that. From Collins Law Office, became Collins & Crews now almost 4 years ago. Wren Crews is my law firm partner. She was one of my competitors. We meet at marketing events a lot. We had the same kind of values. And when she's getting ready to leave a larger firm, we talked and she came aboard. So that's why it's Collins & Crews now. And then again, I've already explained why I started Elder Law Connection. So step one seems pretty easy, but just start a business plan. People that we work with, helping them get started, that's one of their biggest obstacles. They'll always put it off to the next day. Just start writing down your ideas. Free thought, it might seem awkward at first, but you just need to get started. That's the best way to start thinking of things you want to do, coming up with ideas on your own. Just get started. And again, I wanted to apologize. This is a busy slide, but this is the best I could do for this particular topic. And know when you're writing ideas down, it doesn't have to be particular order. You don't have to go online and get a 10-page plan that you're getting from a bank or anything like that. This is for you to use. You're going to change it often. You're going to find out what's important, what's not. And you can develop whatever's easiest. Use it as a PowerPoint format. Use a notebook. Use Word, whatever is easiest for you. What do you want to include on there? That's what the rest of this presentation will be about. You want to include finances. What do you have to have the money for? And what would be nice to have the money for? Trying to figure out the differences between those. And how long can you go until you get your first case? That's really the question you have to ask yourself. If you're adding elder law to your practice, you might be able to go a lot longer before you get your first case. If you were like I was in the solo with two kids under the age of five at home and my spouse working full time with one child on the way, I knew I didn't have much time. I gave myself a year before I started making money, before I would have to find a regular job, which is something I wanted to avoid, like the plague. So finances, try to figure that out, have the honest conversation with yourself, anyone else in your life that you need to. What are your personal and professional goals for this? Why are you doing this? That's the biggest thing. Why are you doing this? Is it just for the money? Is it because you want to help the older population navigate, you know, the end of their life? Is it you want to help veterans and get VA benefits? What is your why? The other things we're going to talk about next is collateral development, potential referral sources, and starting your streamlined office process now. So develop collateral branding. This is hugely important and something I tried to go as cheap as possible on when I started. I wish I had not. I created my own logo. I spent weeks doing my own website, going to other elder websites, picking out what I liked and disliked. It took forever, but you have to have a website up and running before you start marketing. You need your logo. Maybe if you're just starting out, I went to Fiverr. If you've heard of Fiverr, I paid $10 to have a logo done. My first one was simple. And then I changed it. When it became Collins and Cruz, we hired a professional developer, logo and branding, and redo our website. Again, if you already have your website up and running, it might be good to do a complete brand refresh if this is the area you really want to focus on and get away. You know, I talked to a lot of personal injury attorneys and I talked to a lot of divorce attorneys who hate the area of law they're in. If most of your website's focused on divorce and you're gradually trying to add elder law, people are going to get confused. If you don't plan to be a one-stop shop, this is all we do. This is our niche. And that's how we can sell ourselves. We can sell, you know, you're not going to come here and get help with your divorce. You're going to come here and get help with your estate planning and elder law. Before you go out and start marketing, what you need to do on day one, you have to have your brochures done, your business cards updated with your picture on it. Here's a big one that I failed at: an email and an actual email and office phone. So my email is Jackie@elderlawconnection. When I first started, it was just JackieCollins@gmail or something like that, .com. And my phone number was my cell phone. Those first brochures, I still see every once in a while because I still get calls on my personal cell phone from someone that I handed a brochure out 10 years ago. It pays to have an actual phone number. Like we use GoToConnect for our phone. There's Ooma. There's all types of things out there that you can use that are relatively inexpensive to have a separate phone number. You know, GoToConnect is an app on my phone, so I didn't have to buy an extra cell phone or anything like that once I finally realized Google Voice wasn't cutting it. It was free, but people want to hear someone pick up the phone. They don't want to hear kind of a robot. That's what sets you apart from your competition that has either an answering service, a robot where you have to dial through a directory, or someone that answers the phone that can't help them immediately. Real office space. That was the one that I couldn't do. Just could not swing rent at first. I was meeting people at Bob Evans. I was meeting people at the library. Most of the time I was meeting people in their home. And you just know how to set up. Like, oh, I can come to you. It's hard for you to get out. Let me come to you. To make it appear like you have a real office, UPS, the UPS store, their mailboxes. I was mailbox number 103, so I just put suite 103. At a UPS store, you're allowed to put suite 103. If you're at the United States Postal Service mailbox, you're not allowed. You have to put post office box. So that is just a little trick you can do. To make it appear as though you have a real office when you might not be able to afford to do so yet. Join a local chamber, do a grand opening. That's a great event. That's how you meet people and start getting your word out that you're open. The free things you can do, get your elevator pitch done before you go out and start marketing your elevator pitch. It's kind of cliche. It's 30 seconds long. The sooner you get comfortable saying that, the better. My elevator pitch took a while. You don't know what to say. The groups I was going to didn't have any other elder law attorneys in them, which was great for me because that means I was the only one so far. So when I first started going to nursing homes and assisted living communities to talk about my services, I actually started about 35 minutes away from where I wanted my office to be. That way, if I just screwed everything up, it wasn't the primary market I was looking for. And you're nervous, but the more you do it, I started out in a place called Marysville, Ohio, and I immediately had the first two buildings I went to were very receptive. Thankfully, even though I know I sounded nervous, and they invited me to do a presentation almost immediately. And that's what you want to offer, presentations. How can you help them out? Which leads us to what I think is the most important slide. And this is, again, pretty busy, but identify your referral sources. And you don't want to just identify them and then go give your elevator pitch in the hopes that they will refer people to you and that like you're constantly selling. You want to solve their problems. The business office, if you're going to buildings like nursing homes, assisted living, independent livings, they're bothered every day by vendors coming in, home health companies wanting to be their primary company. You have to go in and say, hey, is this your problem? This is how I can help solve it. For example, assisted living memory care in Ohio is our biggest referral source. Every state's different. This is one of the things when you're onboarding with us, we'll talk to you about your state, what their Medicaid rules are, what your specific area is like, what your competition's like, what type of buildings do you have in the area. Is it going to be better to start out going after nursing homes or assisted livings, or maybe we go after financial advisors? It's not one size fits all. Just because it worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for you, but we'll figure it out. So in Ohio, Medicaid will pay for room and board and the health services for assisted living and memory care. All that you pay is what your income is. Other states, that's not true. Some will just pay for the health services. Some will just pay room and board. Some do not pay for anything in assisted living at all, and they only pay for nursing homes. That's something you have to figure out. But if you go into assisted living and memory care, you can tell them, hey, I can look for VA benefits, so you can avoid Medicaid. If there is Medicaid, we can ensure there won't be any Medicaid application issues where you're letting a family do it. You ask them, do you have family members completing Medicaid applications? Yes. Is there often problems? Yes. Or do you have any unpaid beds or large sums of money that are owed to you that you're worried you're never going to get paid? And maybe you offer to help them on those cases. I know when I came in, and even today, there's several buildings that let people run up at kind of a large six-figure balances before they start really panicking. So assist, know your audience. Identify your referral sources, use these methods to talk to them, say this is how you can solve your problems. Community centers are great sources to do presentations. Senior centers is essentially what they are. I found most of them today don't want to be called senior centers. You can get presentations. I know we do a rotation about once a quarter or every other quarter. We do a presentation at about 8 different centers around the Columbus, Ohio area. And we sponsor a lunch, so we pay $5 or $6 per lunch per senior who attends. And all of the places are very good about making them sit in on the presentation. They can't just come, take their money, take their lunch, and leave. So for $100, you might get 20 people who show up for your presentation. They might not use you now, but if you're giving them a brochure or a pen or any of your other collateral, they're going to take it with them and keep hold of it. So if something happens or they hear somebody going through the situations you describe in your presentation, they're going to call you. You can financial advisors. That was one thing. I joined a group, not Wealth Council, a different group to help me get started. They really pushed me to go talk to financial advisors, really pushed me. Wouldn't even entertain my other ideas. And I'm not exaggerating. In the first 6 months, I should say 9 months, I talked to 89 financial advisors. Most all of them didn't care what I had to say. They were mostly, well, if you give me a referral, I'll give you a referral. Vice, tit for tat type of a thing. Even though I was showing the value I could add by, hey, if this person's older and you have older clients and they're going to a nursing home, we can protect their assets even at the last minute, so you still have assets to manage. A lot of them just didn't seem interested for whatever reason. They knew where I was new, and they only wanted to know about, you know, what the wealth was of my client base. So out of those 89, I work with zero of those now. All the financial advisors I met with, I work with now, came about organically through current clients. I know other attorneys, that's how they started their whole business, just financial advisors. It just worked out for them. It was their area or the type of financial advisors they're going to. So here's a good list of what you should look for and how you can try to solve their problems. One last thing I want to touch on, because it was something I did a lot of and it cost me a lot of money, was networking groups. BMI, Gold Star was one I was in. There were several. AmSpirit was another one I was in. I was in three different groups for the first 3 years I was in practice by myself. And who knows how much money I spent, but I bet I got a total of two referrals out of those groups the entire time. You know, later on I found out, you know, I came and replaced a different attorney who everybody has been friends with for 10 years. So they were still referring to that person, all those types of little things. It was good to get practice on your elevator pitch. It was good practice on presentations. And in some areas, there's really strong, those groups have really strong groups and they're 100% worth it. But I just found it, for me, you can tell pretty quickly if it's going to be worth it for you. So before you commit to a monetary commitment, all of those groups usually have a free trial of a month or two of meetings before you have to start paying. So if you ever have any questions about that, just let me know. Next. And this is my biggest regret. Was not using a process when I started. So I didn't get a client for 9 months. But once I got my first client, they started coming pretty quickly. You know, I was doing a lot of networking groups. There's a lot of healthcare marketing groups near me. So it's made up of marketing directors of assisted living communities, nursing homes, home health companies, the Alzheimer's Association, you know, downsizers, all those people I had on the previous. I bet there's 12 of them in the Columbus, Ohio area. Maybe you'll be as fortunate to have that many. So you could go to 12 meetings a month and start seeing the same people and you start building a rapport. And I got lucky, and the person who ran probably one of the nicest memory care facilities in the Central Ohio area, we really hit it off, and she started sending me people left and right. After she sent me kind of a trial run, you can tell. It's like, well, I'll send you this person and we'll see what they say about you. But I got that one client and then another and then another, and it just started kind of going pretty quickly. And what I had failed to do then those 9 months when I had nothing but time was to develop my intake form, my fee agreement. I'd always put it off. I'd work more on my website. I'd work more on my presentation. You know, Elder Law Connection provides all these things for people if we're signing you up. But you need to develop a first contact form, an analysis form that just shows the information you need to evaluate their situation. So you have a phone call, you immediately send them an email thanking them for calling in, and an analysis form saying, as soon as we get that back, you can have your free consultation or paid consultation, whatever you decide. That way they have a vested interest in you. It's just not, all right, well, let's call me back when you're ready to set up the consultation. You're talking to them, they're acting. Once you get it, you'll act. You know, get your fee schedule down, write it out. If you're doing fixed prices or you're going to charge hourly, most clients love fixed prices. And that way there's no surprises. Figure out what your area charges if you can. What's an average price for a will plan, financial power of attorney, trust, Medicaid application process. If you're going to use drafting software, I highly recommend that's where you put some of your money. That makes everything so much easier. You know, like I said, I started out with a couple other organizations and ended up on Elder Council, now Wealth Council. I really enjoy their software. It's nice. You know, I love marketing and meeting with clients. I don't have to sit there on listservs and read all these newsletters. I know that my trust, something important comes out, Wealth Council will send me an update, let me watch a webinar about it, and then they'll update all of our trusts and everything accordingly. You know, other things you can maybe put off, CRM program. So if someone calls in, how are you managing your referrals? I start off with just an Excel spreadsheet with, you know, book one or page one, first call, page two, you know, analysis received, page three. Now they're at, we've set up their first appointment, and then page four was from then on, they become a client. So just start thinking of how you want your process to look. Okay, somebody signed up. If you're lucky enough, maybe you can have a family member be your first client and you do it for free. And you can kind of see for yourself what you're going to need to develop pretty quickly. Because even if you're doing something for free, you need to have a fee agreement. And the biggest thing on this, if you do all these other things and you don't do the follow-up procedures with clients, it'll never work. I was putting all this effort in. I was getting consultations. I was sending out analysis forms. And then I wasn't having the time to follow up. Just calling and say, hey, did you get the analysis form? Do you have any questions about it? That person, usually, if they're calling you, if they're not for pre-planning and they're needing almost immediate VA benefits or Medicaid, they're going through a crisis with their loved one. So they're trying to find placement. They're trying to clean up their house. They're trying to find their Social Security card, Medicaid card, trying to get access to bank accounts, all the things that you can hopefully help them with. So they talk to the attorney, and that kind of goes in the back of their mind for a few days. So you need to give them a day or two and follow up. And you need to have the calendar reminder set up. Hey, this person called. I'm going to give them 2.5 days, and then I'm going to follow up. Help them fill out the form if they need it. That's by far one of the biggest things you can do. And I know my business really started. I got off the roller coaster where I would go out and market, get a whole bunch of clients. Then I'd be in my office because I'm by myself. I'm solo in my office doing all the work, the drafting, the client meetings, the Medicaid applications, the VA applications. And then, you know, I wouldn't have so many, it's this roller coaster of revenue. It would slow down the better these procedures are, but it really didn't get better until I made a priority of hiring someone to follow up with them, which was Lynn. So if you can find someone eventually, that should be your first goal, in my opinion. Normally don't go over this now, but that should be your first goal, is when you can hire a manager to set your calendar and do the follow-ups. Because if you're doing everything else, it's going to get hard after a while to break that revenue roller coaster. So I was going to throw in a bonus item, number five. It's something people ask me about all the time. Free or paid consultations. We do free consultations. I think, you know, we don't have a lot of what tire kickers. People don't shop around a whole bunch. I think between Ren and I, we have around a 97-98% close rate. So if someone comes to us and uses their free consultation, 98% of them will sign up with us. If we lose some people, that's okay. You know, it creates a rapport. They fill out the analysis form. They're coming in with no obligation. You know, a lot of them will have attorneys are bad reputation. I'm already got to pay this guy $350, and what's he going to tell me? What if I don't agree with what he tells me and just wasted that? The biggest thing is you can tell referral partners that it's a no-cost obligation to send someone your way. You're trying to build up a referral network between all these, everybody on that other slide, or other attorneys for that matter, that don't do well. You can tell them, hey, they can come talk to me for free, and I can lay out a plan for them. That's part of my pitch. No obligation, free consultation. They fill out the one-page form. They come talk to me. And I actually say it's a full consultation because I know in my area, a lot of our competition will do a 15-minute phone call or a 15-minute consultation and say, I can solve your problems, but you have to pay me to hear this solve. I tell people, this is option A, B, C. This is the cost of option A, B, and C. And I even try to include what the option is if they do nothing. And I give that to them and let them decide. I give them about 4 or 5 days before we follow up. And again, it's been working great. And we give them the answers. They feel like you've given them value. So they feel a connection with you that if they're going to move forward, they're going to choose you. So what's the cons of free consultations? You're giving away your time and information for free. People will shop around for attorneys. Like I said, we probably get that once or sometimes twice a quarter. You can definitely tell. Most of the time people say, I'm shopping around. I'm like, well, that's great. this is what it is. And when you get to the point where you can say take it or leave it type of a thing, you'll feel good. Because then you're picking your clients more than they're picking you. The cons is people, I'd say twice a year I'll have someone come in and you can tell they're just fishing for information. So they can go try to do whatever it is on their own for free. Usually one out of those two people twice a year that happens, one of them will come back because they've messed it up considerably. And I already talked about the hybrid consultations where it's a free consultation, but we're not going to tell you anything of the important stuff until you pay us. That just, it's almost like you're not buying a car or anything like that. That's just doesn't build trust. So kind of to wrap up the last couple slides, this is what Elderlaw Connection does. We offer individualized in-person training. You know, I know Krauss offers training on Medicaid law for in other areas. There's lots of organizations out there that offer the training, get you going, get you excited, and then turn you loose. And that's how I started talking for Krauss, is to try to get people, once they get turned loose, to get them over the hump, to make sure they're getting out of their office, they're developing their collateral. We're giving them brochures to use to redevelop their own pictures and things like that. We try to get you profitable faster and save money because you're not signing up for terrible referral sources or going to events that you shouldn't be going to. So you can see on the slide everything we provide you. We try to do the research for you in your area, kind of like a marketing research study, get you started as quickly as possible out there in marketing while you're still learning. If you've never done elder law before, you can learn it as you move along, and you'll definitely learn it pretty quickly if you really want to get this done. If you have any questions, I know we're going to look at questions here in a minute, but you can go to our website, you can email me or call me anytime, gladly talk to you, go over any questions we didn't get a chance to answer today, or if you're struggling with something, maybe try to point you in the right direction. Having a mentor when you're doing this is key. Those first few months, I didn't have one until, like I said earlier, I on Ohio State Bar Association listserv, someone was answering the questions I was I would ask, and I finally just reached out to her. She was 2.5 hours away. Thankfully, she was very nice, was more than happy, didn't see us competition, especially being over 2.5 hours away. And was able to help me. So if we're able to be your mentor, or if you're able to find your own mentor, excuse me, it's essential. So thanks, everybody, for coming. I know that went pretty quick, but does anyone have any questions?
All right. Thank you. We have a few questions here. First question, what would you say are your most lucrative referral sources?
Assisted living and memory care communities and nursing. Medicaid applications and last minute asset preservations is our largest fee that we generate. It's a lot of work. It's 30, 40 hours per application in our area, especially the bigger counties in Ohio. It's going to be a lot of work. You're going to have denials. You're going to have to go to a state hearing. You're going to have to do a last minute financial power of attorney. You're going to have to go to the nursing home to meet these people. There's a lot of work. But it also generates the most. It's our most lucrative because we're solving. That's the easiest problem to solve. You know, hey, you have this person that's in arrears 6 months. Their application is stalled. Let's talk to the family. And the family's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I didn't talk to you before. We'll gladly pay you to take over this application process so it doesn't become worse and we get evicted. Or, you know, it's a really easy sell. If you can tell, you know, if you're single and you've done no planning, whatever, you know, we can sometimes save up to 30% of your assets, even at the last minute, for family or for you just to have off to your side. So that's an easy sell for families. If you're married and you have a healthy spouse at home, we can save up to about 90%. There's a lot of options. And this is in Ohio specifically. Other states have the same rules as Ohio. Other states are more lax. It just depends on where you're at. So that is definitely our biggest revenue generator. We don't do a lot of pre-planning. It's something we want to get back into. But I know a lot of other elder law firms in the area do the I'm going to buy you a steak dinner and try to sell you a trust. I've been of the mindset, especially since I started out by myself, I didn't have the money to rent out a hall and pay a meal for people. you know, if we rent out a hall now or do presentations, we usually do a co-presenting opportunity with the building and say, hey, we'll advertise, we're going to talk about VA benefits. That's going to get people through the door to your building. You provide the coffee and cookies and the venue for free, and then I'll come and talk. It's usually the best way to get presentations off the ground because it gets people in the building, which is their goal, and it gets you in front of people, which is your goal. So, and if you're worried about going to talk to them for the first time, I wrote this down, I don't know where I wrote it, but I forgot to mention it, always ask to go for a tour. These marketing directors, executive directors have a certain number of tours they're supposed to do a week. They love giving tours. I mean, the men that love giving it, they need to give tours and love when you come in and get a tour because you can go in and say, hey, I'm an elder law attorney. I'm trying to learn all the buildings in the area so I know who to refer to. And that checks a box for them too. That's a great point of contact. That's just all you helping them. You're not asking for much at that time.
All right. You mentioned that when you were first starting out, it was a little tough for the financial advisors to be a strong referral source. Is that something you were able to do successfully over time?
Yes. So, again, literally none of those 89, 88 people I talk to. I see them out and about, but you just kind of learn not to waste your time, especially when other referral sources are going off. But everyone I work with now, I have a good three or not very many, 3 to 6 that we met organically. They understood the process. They understood, oh, yes. What I found with a lot of advisors, they're saying, hey, we have to liquidate this person's, at the time, IRA because he's going on to Medicaid. We might be able to exempt it, but there's a whole bunch of rules there. But if we have to liquidate it, they just see this big taxable event. And they're like, oh, my God, if we liquidate this IRA, it's going to generate $15,000 of taxes for this year. It's like, well, the nursing home is $15,000 a month. So, you know, after the first month, it's going to balance each other out. And a lot of people just want to get past that. I've lost clients, especially at the beginning, of financial advisors saying this guy doesn't know what he's doing. People have signed up and said, I'm going to stick with his advice. You know, one was my neighbor, was the worst offender. I still see him out and about, but he said she ended up at a different elder law firm because she was too embarrassed to come back, but she had privately paid for 6 months and they never even got a Medicaid application out the door or done anything but not liquidate. So hopefully it answers your questions. You'll meet some that are good and get it, and you'll know immediately. If they're just asking about, you know, what's your average net worth of your clients? How many people can you send me? They're just going to take. And you really, you know, you can offer your presentations for them, webinars for them, those types of things that are free for you. And then if once you build rapport and you trust them, then you can send them clients and you can send them your really good clients.
Perfect. Next question here. Do you have any tips on managing my time with these different activities like marketing, legal work, and follow-up if I don't have any support staff yet?
Calendar reminders. I just use Gmail as my platform. It's like it was $6 a month for a, you know, at your law firm email. That's the biggest thing I use, that in my Excel spreadsheet. And then I would, at first, all I had was time. So I spent it on marketing, refining my website and collateral. And as you start getting clients, that's where it's really hard to kind of balance until you can hire someone. And then having that conversation of what type of person you should hire, an office manager, a paralegal, to do applications. Do you just hire an office assistant to make those calls? But you really, what I did was use my calendar. I'd have every Thursday all day was a marketing day. So I'd either plan my presentations for Thursday. It seemed to be the best day for buildings and the people asking me to do presentations. So there'd be Tuesdays and Thursdays. So Tuesdays and Thursdays was for marketing. Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays were for client meetings and everything else. And I wouldn't stray from that unless a really good opportunity arose and they wanted me to do a presentation. I don't have a client meeting scheduled. Then I would do it. But I found just dividing up your time, I have a block schedule I made in Excel, you know, 8 to 8:30, I'm reviewing emails or getting settled for the day. And I'm making phone calls. And then I'm I'm going to go out to Northwest Columbus and hit up these six buildings, stop in, drop off my brochures, see if they need any more. If they had any interesting tours come through where they have family situations you might be able to help with. Just remind them what you do. It's like, oh, yeah, I have this family. They're perfect for me. But the two brothers are fighting and over who should be financial power of attorney. Well, you know, they both can. And that starts, well, you should talk to them. And if you can, or if they have a family member, I'm kind of ranting here, but there's so many things you can do. But primarily, it's just using my calendar reminders and an Excel spreadsheet and sticking to it. And building time for cases, too, because we became a crisis firm somehow instead of the more pre-planning. So we still build in time. So, you know, every 3 days a week, 4 days a week, we'll have time built in where we have an open consultation time. So if someone calls us, if a hospital sends us someone saying, hey, this person is getting discharged, we have no idea where they're going to go. They need all these things. We can get their loved one in the next day to talk, start talking to them or go to them.
All right. Perfect. Next question here. When you are just beginning, how do you determine your pricing and determine the fees being charged by others in your area?
That's a great question. So I had a coach of the first organization I belonged to who kind of knew what some of the pricing was. And then when I switched to Wealth Counsel and Lynn, she kind of knew what some of the pricing was in our area. And then just networking, going out to these healthcare marketing groups, talking to the same people, some of the competitions talking to, like, hey, you know about how much they're charging? Or a lot of times they'll just tell you, they'll be like, oh my God, he charged this much for application. Can you believe that? And you're like, oh my God, no. And then you're okay, I'm going to charge $1,500 last year, $3,000, whatever it is. Because it is hard to know what other people are charging. I know some people, I've seen it, I never did it where you, ask for a free consultation and try to figure out prices that way. I'd have clients come in that would say, the shopping clients, they would say, well, I'm talking to this attorney. I've already talked to these two. I'd be like, oh, what were their prices? Just ask them. And most of the time, they're more than willing to tell you. I know my prices for will packages. I do packages. Like I said, we do operate and fixed prices for everything from our Medicaid applications to our asset protection trust. The only thing we charge hourly for is probate. I know our will packages are your last will and testaments, living will, healthcare power of attorney, and financial power of attorney. I have one set price for that if you're single. And uncomplicated, I have a set price if you're single and it's complicated. Then I have the same thing for married, uncomplicated, married, complicated, revocable trusts, asset protection trusts, Medicaid application process for a single person, married couple, and then if you have to include everything. There's a big cost to that. That's something if you work with our company, something will help you develop as a fee schedule. And you can tell pretty much, that's the hardest thing. One of the hardest things I had to do in consultation was talking about the price. I would kind of hem and haw, it's $5,000 for this. And I'd feel bad. but once you get over that and you have the confidence, people don't bat an eye because they know you're offering the help they have to have at that moment. And that's what I like most about being a crisis firm. You're really helping people. You're protecting them from being taken advantage of and all those types of things.
Kind of a similar question here. Let's say you are charging more for a particular service or package. How do you justify that to your clients compared to your competition?
Great question. So part of the stuff that we give you, and you can develop these things on your own, are client handouts. And I think I even had a bullet point client experience folder. So everybody leaves with a folder. My mentor is like, always give them something to take with you. So if they take a folder, they came to your presentation, something happens to them, their kids are looking through the house, they find your folder, even if they never were a client. Now they're calling you to figure out the situation. So I, on one of my handouts, I say, this is what we're doing for you. We're doing your financial power of attorney, healthcare power of attorney, living will. I write them all out while they're watching me write this out. you know, you can have it pre-written in, but I feel like it's a better effect if you're writing everything out you're doing. Two Medicaid applications. We include the state hearings that we know we're going to have to go to. I'll say things like, some of them might be cheaper than me, but I know, like right now in Franklin County, Ohio, there's a 99% chance if we file for a Medicaid application, we're going to have to go to a state hearing. And I know at least two of my competitors will charge less, but then we'll say, oh, state hearings come up. You know, it's got to be $3,500. I just say that's a built-in cost. We know it's going to happen. There's no surprises. That you can request to talk to the attorney and you can talk to me. Have a quick phone call. We got two paralegals. That's all they do is process applications. This is kind of how we set ourselves apart. We say we have relationships with just about anybody that you could possibly need, and we can make those connections without you having to Google it and just see who you land on until you find someone you trust. We have vetted buildings. I tell people all the time, you know, we only work with buildings we vet and we send our own family to. You know, we vetted downsizing companies, placement companies, all that stuff. So that's kind of how we try to set ourselves apart and create value. And that if they use us, they're not going to have to worry about anything else. They can go from being a caregiver, problem solver, back to being the son, daughter, husband, wife as quickly as possible.
That's great. Let's do one more question here. Can you explain a little more about what the marketing research study includes with your training service?
Yeah, we just, we'll get on, it depends on where you are. Again, so number one, before we'd even sign up, we have several discovery calls. Figuring out your goals, because I come in person to you, that's kind of, we don't take on everybody that reaches out to us. So the goal is we meet, we talk, we develop all these things. You get your brochures done. We do the marketing study. So we'll list all the assisted living communities. We'll list all the memory care places, nursing homes, potential financial advisors within the circle that you want to work in. All those things that I listed on there, we'll list them and then we'll categorize them. Best chance of success. If you are able to do some on the ground research before I get there. And then we'll have all your collateral done. We'll have that study done. And then what I like to do is you come to our office in Columbus and you're here for 2 or 3 days. You'll sit in on client meetings to see how they're run, see kind of how the flow and how we use the handouts that we provide to you. You'll sit on client meetings. We'll hopefully get you in on a presentation to sit on. We try to do one presentation a week. And you'll sit in on that presentation. You'll come to me. You'll yell out what type of questions we're getting asked at the end of it. The flow for the slide deck that we give you, we'll give you that presentation, several presentations to use. We'll have you go on marketing calls, with us. So we'll go to assist living community. Maybe we'll go to community center. You can see how we introduce ourselves. It's kind of hard now because most everyone knows us after 10, 12 years of doing it, but we still go out and pretend they don't sometimes. And so you can see what right looks like. We go back and kind of reconvene and go over the plan again. And then a few weeks later, I come to you. And then we'll go to those buildings that we listed, you know, top three buildings, top three financial advisors. And the first day, you know, I might do most of the talking. I'll say your elevator pitch. Second day, you know, tell them I'm there helping. And then you gradually take over and doing everything for the next day or two that I'm there. And then I depart and then we do follow up calls. And then I know we can even do back office support. If you know, you haven't been able to hire staff yet, you're not sure how to draft, you know, we typically include all that drafting and back office support. Until you make back the charge that we charged you in revenue, if that makes sense. So if we charge $10,000, $15,000 for the program, that can last for 2 years or until you make your revenue back, your $15,000 or $10,000, whatever it might be, then you get the back office support. So once you get your first client, you're not going at it alone. And then after you've made your revenue, you have the option just to keep using us, or I'm always there for a phone call.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for sharing your insight with us, Jackie, and for explaining a little bit more about that program. I want to extend a big thank you. We really appreciated it. If we didn't get to any questions, or if you do have any other questions that come up while you're filling out that post-webinar survey, feel free to get those in there, and we'll get those over to Jackie for a response. Otherwise, a recording of this webinar will be available shortly through your attorney access account. If you don't already have an account, you can head on over to krausfinancial.com/join to get started. Signing up is quick and easy and gives you access to all of our latest educational content and long-term care planning resources. And again, thank you so much, Jackie, and I hope everyone has a great afternoon.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. And call if you have any questions, pricing, anything. Love to talk to you.